it's really hard if you are a minority of any kind and you are working at a company, even though the company is trying to be inclusive and diverse, but people make comments that make you feel uncomfortable or make you feel that you're less than or that you're not human.
Hello and welcome back to Tech and Startups, the premier growth network for technology leaders. Let's get started.
Maybe I'll introduce myself. I already said that I'm from Brazil and I work for a digital bank. It was actually the first digital bank in Brazil. It's Banco Original. I'm a UX researcher there. And I also teach UX research at IBAC. It's the British School of Creative Arts. And I also work for a nonprofit. It's called Todos, which means all in Portuguese. And we are 130 plus volunteers. We work remote. And it has been 3 years since. We have a lot of great projects. And it has inspired me to talk more about this. And in technology specifically, I've learned working with Todos how hard it is to bring people from technology and how hard it is to find people who are interested in helping communities, different communities as a whole, no matter the subject, and also realize how technology is a field that is very homogenized and there's a lot of lack in diversity. And so I brought some studies that show that looking to diversity, we know that matters. I'm hoping that everybody cares about diversity and wants to create a more equal world. But we also have data that shows that it's actually profitable to do so. So I brought three research here. One I added from the RLS encounter because it's new. It's from MIT economists. And they actually found a link between diversity and productivity. It's a very, very interesting study because it shows a 41% increase in revenue when you have gender diverse teams. If you compare them to teams that are just one gender, either male or female. And there's also another research from McKinsey that shows a lot of data. So for instance, you can find 15% increase in profit when you have greater gender diversity. Also 35% increase in profit for organizations with greater ethnic diversity. 10% of, if you put 10% of your budget to diversity, you actually have 0.8% increase in profit. That was research done in the US. But if you, the same research was done in the UK, and they actually found 3.5% increase when you look in gender diversity. So there's this increase in profit. So it's actually profitable. You can make more money, and companies should look at it. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but you can make more money this way. So if you look in tech specifically, because this is applicable to all segments, all fields, but in tech, as I said, it's a very homogenized field. Some companies, they actually started surveying their employees to understand how bad the situation was in order to improve. And some of them actually, they actually have this data online and you can find it. So here is just a sneak peek. Actually, you can find the whole research online. Those are Facebook numbers. So if you look at gender, you can actually find the information on senior leadership, business and sales, and the entirety of the roles in the company. But if you look at technical roles, which are the worst, usually technical roles in technology are mostly men working. And on Facebook, they have started doing this effort to change that. But still, they have 23% female only. And 77% male people working for them. And when you look at ethnicity, if you look at senior leadership, which it tends to be the area where it's the hardest to bring diversity to, you see 65.4% white people. And the other ethnicities are very low. If you look at Google, it's pretty much the same. So if you have, if you look to the workforce as a whole, you have 31.6% women only. And if you look at leadership, that number decreases to 26.1%. And the same things go for race and ethnicity. So if you look at the workforce as a whole, there's 54.4% white. And on leadership representation, it's 66.6%. We have some Asians there, which is, you can also see another stereotype for Asian people. That's why they're here, which is the stereotype for Asians being really good at exact sciences. And that shows on data when they're represented a lot in the workforce and technology, and some other fields, that's not as much. But people are great in the numbers, and those are the numbers. But I also want to talk about some actual cases, actual examples when those things came to happen, and what was the actually the situation and people involved. So one thing that happened to me once, I was working for this wallet, it was a digital wallet, and I am from the south of Brazil, and I'm now living in São Paulo, which is southeast, so it's another state. And I started working with people from here in São Paulo, and they started testing to make the opening of the account. And I was planning this usability test. And when I tried to just plan the usability test, I realized that I couldn't open one account for myself. And that was because the state where I'm from, when you have your ID, you can laminate it. So it's actually more durable this way, but you cannot unfold it. And here in São Paulo, there is a law that prohibits people from doing so. So when you were going to take photograph your documents, it was only one picture because you could open up your document and take the both sides. But me being from another state and there we had different laws, mine was laminated. So I could only take a picture from one side, not the other. So I wasn't able to open an account. And that showed me how just right there in that team, because we had one person from a different state, so it was not only a lot of people from that same area, same region, we also had gains. So even before the usability test, I found out a problem, an issue. And the tests were going to be done in São Paulo. So on the usability test, we were not going to find that out. And here in Brazil, it's really common because the Southeast region is really rich compared to the rest of the country. So things tend to be done here for people who live here. And we forget the rest of the country. And since we had people from other states, we actually found out an issue that we're going to be found out later. But this way, we were more efficient. There was another case. I'm now working for a digital bank, so we use several APIs for the opening of the account. And we thought of changing one API. So it was a face recognition when someone would open the account, you have to take a picture. And it would recognize your face and check that with your ID. And we were not going to change anything for the user. The user would see just, all the screens will be the same. We were just going to change an API. So there was no reason to maybe do usability tests or anything like that. We were just testing among ourselves if it was quicker because it was cheaper. So it was going to be better for the project. And in our team, luckily, we had people of color. And when we tried to test the API, it didn't work with them. So every time people with darker skin would try to use it, they received a warning saying, please turn on the light. And later we found out that Asian people couldn't use it either. They received a warning saying to open their eyes. So it made very clear to us that whoever was involved on the building of this API, they were mostly white people, who were not people of color, not Asians, because that probably would come up. And the whole set of imagery that they trained that API with was built with white people. And I'm working for a nonprofit for 3 years now, and I was working with people who worked with me there. We were talking, and we realized that most of us are millennials. We tend to be quite young in this nonprofit at Toges. And most of us have this issue, that it's a very millennial issue where we can't stay for more than 1 or 2 years in a company, we tend to change companies. That being a millennial and working with technology, that's pretty common. And it's bad for employees, it's bad for employers, because you can spend a lot of time on one company, maybe building your career, getting vacation because you keep changing. And one of them was talking to me how he couldn't stay for longer periods of time in companies. But at Todges, he was for a long time. It was 2 years he was working there. It was the longest that he has ever spent on an organization before. And we were trying to pinpoint the reasons why, because we are a nonprofit. So the work is volunteers at night, is on the weekends. It's not easy. It's way harder than working from 9 to 5 and getting your paycheck at the end of the month. But we realized that when we worked at Todges, we had a lot of diversity in our teams. So we could learn a lot from each other. We could help have conversations that we would never have in our day-to-day jobs. And that actually made people stay. And the other companies where those people work, usually they were, didn't feel secure. They didn't feel welcomed. They couldn't share their whole lives with their coworkers. So there was no reason to stay. There was always a chance that maybe the next company would be better with better teams or more diverse people. So it's when you look at diversity, we see here on those three cases that happened to me that you have a lot of gains besides those that we saw on those research that I brought earlier. But this is the problem. This is the way we are right now. And I gathered several authors, one of which works with me at Todges, on ways that we can work to improve this, to change the situation. And first of all, one thing that stops a lot of people, diverse people, from entering different jobs and different companies is not having flexible times and work configurations. So if you think of someone, people who are minorities, they tend to have more responsibility with family. So we're talking about women who have to care for their young children or children from other people from their families, maybe elderly people who need assistance. So you need better working configuration, maybe work from home, work remote, make different schedules so kids could be picked up from school. Another thing that can be done is to maybe show diversity on the work too. And I talk about this because as a designer, and working with technology as well, we do several types of documentation and work that gets out that it's not diverse at all. So I'm tired of seeing personas, for example, that's very common to me since I'm a UX researcher, from several products that are all white men. And no product here in Brazil, where we have a population that is 60% black people, could have just white personas, unless it's, I don't know, very white makeup. But it's not representative, so it's not correct. You have to show that. So maybe if you're doing advertisement pieces or you're doing onboarding for an app and you have illustrations, so how can you show diverse people there as well? And also forms. We can have a whole conversation about forms. You can be very excluded when you build forms for people to fill. And you have to think about that if you want to be inclusive. And you have to get to know harmful stereotypes. It's really hard to fight something when you don't know it. So nowadays, for me, it's really easy to recognize when someone's being a stereotype and when prejudice is being done. But a few years ago, when I was new to the subject, a lot of injustice happened in front of me and I couldn't see. Now, looking back, I can see. Why? Because I studied. Because now I know those stereotypes, and it's easy for me to see in the beginning. It doesn't need to be a blatant injustice. It can be subtle, and I can realize that. So I think it's everyone's job, and pretty much people who are not minorities, to know those harmful stereotypes in order to fight them, stop them, and also study a lot. As I said in the beginning, it is a subject that is ever growing, and you are not always on top of your game when talking about diversity, because we keep learning new things, and it's very healthy, it's very humane for this to be changing, but we need to try to follow it. And if we don't study, we don't know the stereotypes, and we need to share this with our teams. Because every time I go to a design event or a tech event, and there's one talk or there's one area that is talking about diversity or inclusion, you always see the same faces there. It's always people of color, it's always women, LGBT people, people with disabilities. Those people are interested, but it's like preaching to someone who's already converted. You have to take that word out to people who don't know that and will never find out because they are not minorities. Their relationships, the family relationships, their working relationship, their friends, they're all not minorities. So the subject will never come to be for them. They will never find that out by themselves. Other thing is to act before speaking. And that's very hard because I see a lot of companies that had, they found out that diversity is, it's in and it's good. And there we have a lot of research showing that. So they want to be diverse, but they're not. They tell that. So there's this game I play by myself in every design event or tech event that I go to. The how many talks do I have to watch until someone shows their team and it's a white man, like 15, 20 white men, and they say that they are diverse. So this is something that happens in every event that I go. And I know that sometimes people might think of diversity as maybe diverse fields or diverse professionals because someone is an engineer and another person is a designer. That's not diversity. That's not what we're talking about. And we have to really look inside our companies to see that the job is being done before talking about it. It can be very harmful to the image of the company, but it's very harmful as a whole to the market because if you're looking maybe to change jobs or to seek a company that is more diverse, then maybe you can be fooled by that because a lot of companies say so, but they don't do it. On the other hand, if you do that, it's very important to speak about it because I've known people who work in companies who are really diverse. They have a lot of programs. They do efforts. They have groups inside who are looking at gender, at race. They are looking at sexual orientation. They are looking to the elderly, to people with disabilities, but they don't say anything about it. So people outside cannot know that in order to want to work there or want to help or want to be part of maybe a project or an event. So you have to advertise that if you are actually doing that. Other thing we can do is stop referring our friends. And that's really hard because it's really natural to us. If I am a designer and they need designers on my team, and I know excellent designers because I've worked with them, I study with them, or maybe I know someone who works with that person. So I'm really sure of the quality of their work. But what happens is there are a circle of people that we know, our friends, our coworkers, that tend to have the same background as we do. And I actually invite you to actually stop and think the people who you talk to on a daily basis, on the last week, for instance, they probably have the same background that you have. They probably come from the same social, economic situations. They probably come from the same area, the same country. So if you refer someone, you're just perpetuating the situation. You're going to have more people like yourself in your company, and this will be feeding itself so that companies are always the same and usually in the hands of people in power, which usually are white men, white, cisgender, heterosexual men without any disabilities. And how can you reach people who are different if you keep referring your friends who are just like yourself? Other thing is to mentor people who are diverse. There was this research done that men, for instance, they feel really weird about mentoring women. They're not comfortable with that. So imagine that in technology, as we just saw on Facebook and Google, most people working in tech are men, but men are uncomfortable to mentor women. So how can women be mentored by anybody and grow in their careers? So the same things that happen with your friends will happen to people who you mentor. So you actually have to look outside your circle to meet different people and mentor them. And it might be hard to say no to people who maybe you know or who are close to you, but it's a good effort to look to different people and be open to that. Other thing that is really important is to take a stand on a daily basis. And I say that because it's really hard if you are a minority of any kind and you are working at a company, even though the company is trying to be inclusive and diverse, but people make comments that make you feel uncomfortable or make you feel that you're less than or that you're not human. And I'm saying that because I've seen it, I've heard, and I know a lot of people who have similar experiences where maybe you're a trans person and people mistake your pronoun. Maybe you're LGBT and people make jokes with sexual orientation, maybe not about yourself, but as sexual orientation as a whole, that has an impact on you, on your productivity, because you have to keep blocking that out so you can concentrate. If you're a woman and you hear jokes about women, maybe how women are less productive or dumb, they usually are not that straightforward, they tend to be more subtle, but that will impact your productivity. It will make you leave the company, it will make you produce less, or maybe have develop mental illness from hearing that on a day-to-day. And if you're not a minority, or maybe you're hearing something that doesn't affect you but affect another minority, I think it's way easier for you to defend someone else than defend yourself. So if you hear something, for instance, if I hear some people talking about people with disability, I don't have a disability. So for me, it's easier to show how wrong that is because I don't have to show that I'm a human. If I am having to defend that I'm as human as the person talking to me, that we are equal, that conversation is harder to have. So we actually have to take a stand for other people because that's easier than taking for ourselves. So it's the job for everyone to be attentive, to listen, and to actually take a stand. Also question our companies, because those efforts for diversity and inclusion, they never happened from day to night. They never happen overnight. And usually it starts from the employees. So you have to do the neck test. That's a Portuguese expression, but it works in English as well. Because the neck test is that you just flip your neck to the sides and you check for minorities. And if they're not there, there's something wrong. You can see the how population is divided. So if I take Brazil as an example, we have 60% of Black people. So if I am in a room that's filled with 50, 100 people, and we are all working on the same project, and there is not one person of color, something is deeply wrong. And I have to question my companies, because it's from my questioning and the questioning of other employees that we are going to change the situation. And sometimes people are afraid to make those questionings, but sometimes human resources just need that one person to say something so they can justify the program that they're trying to start. And also promote examples. So I see very often, I have some groups that I participate, they are focused on technology or design, and one of them is for LGBT people, other is from Black women. And we always, I see amazing professionals there, really, really great, intelligent people, but they are not known. When I go to the events, they're not the ones talking. When I hear examples of the work being done, and I know that someone there is doing amazing work, they're not the examples being used. Because we tend to forget about minorities. We have this unconscious bias where we want to show what we always see. So if what we see is normality, so it's usually white men, and that's what we want to show. So that's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of an example. So those people, they don't have their work shown as much. And there's just one thing that just to start, when you start doing that, you start promoting those examples, the people who are minorities, just not to create tokens. And that happens when maybe some environments, some organizations, they are not very diverse. They are filled with white men. And they have one person, and usually that person ticks a lot of boxes. So it's a woman, it's a person of colors, the Latin, LGBT, has a disability. So that's our token. And every time we have to go to an event, we have to show pictures, we We put that person in the front, and we can say that we are diverse, even though it's one person and we have 1,000+ people working. So we have to really take care not to do that. It's different than promoting great examples.
We've gotten some fantastic insights on strengthening your team. But what about other ways you can strengthen your team? I've assembled an 8-page guide on the 4 quadrants of strengthening your team with key insights from more than 11 veteran tech team leaders. To get yours, grab the link below this video. I'm so glad you joined us today. If this video was helpful, give it a like, go ahead and subscribe and hit the bell so that tech and startup videos continue to show up in your feed. I'll see you in the other videos.